With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mayday, bitches.
Crossover year five. Sorry, I don't want to rush it. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
I'm Shandy.
I'm Alice.
And I'm Martha.
Welcome, welcome, everybody, to another year of the broadcast Real Weird Sisters crossover. How's it going?
Nailed it.
Nailed
perfect.
It. Yeah, got it. There we
so
go.
Good. I think it was our best
Colleen,
yet.
You're reminding me of Dumbledore with your energy of the speech here, like a well-done Slytherin kind of energy that you're giving.
That's what
here.
I was going for.
Oh,
yeah,
good, perfect.
I got that too. I got that for sure.
Oh,
thank
I'm
you.
See?
I'd like to start with a few words. Nitwit, blubber, oddment, tweak.
See, five episodes in, 4 years in, and we are all understanding each other's energy. It's not like we didn't do another podcast for like 5 years before that. I mean, we're all...
really more like 10 episodes in, right? Because every crossover we've done two episodes from, so
yeah, or at least
true.
Most of them.
It's like it's 5 years, but probably more like 8 or 9 episodes.
That's mm-hmm. a great point. It's kind of so our first crossover was also I forgot to mention, just in case the person that loves us the most is listening, this is season 6 episode 30, episode number 255. If I didn't have that for the record, it wouldn't exist. Anyway, so our first crossover was in 2018, right? And we did it before I went on maternity leave, before Alex was born.
Oh my and gosh, pre-Alex.
It was pre-Alix, but only
also,
by like
what
a
took
week.
Us so long? 2018?
We started in 2016.
That's a good point.
I guess
we
that was your second season.
It was like, our
this
third.
Season 6. Oh, that was your third. Oh, wow. You waited until season 3 to bring
wow.
us on?
Well,
we were just too intimidated to ask you guys.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. It was season 2 because you were episode 2.9 and Alix was born on February 9th and I think.
Wow.
And now
that
it's
sounds
2.8,
right.
And but Colleen was born
two,
on February
two,
8th.
Two, eight.
And those
it's
twos
two,
all
eight,
add up
two,
to
two,
8.
Two. Yes.
Happy
it's my
day.
Year.
Oh, my God. Holy shit.
I think my brain just melted somewhere halfway through that.
Happy Tuesday.
I love it. Happy birthday, Colleen.
Oh, thank you. Happy 38 to me.
Yes,
what's
so when we first recorded one of these, you were only how old?
34.
No, okay. Only about it.
And actually, I was 33 because we recorded it in January and then we held
right.
on to them until.
Wow.
That's right.
And then
I remember, last year was we were waiting. It was going to be the episode that dropped when Amanda was on.
Yes.
Release,
yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
We could,
and
we
pregnant this time.
Not I.
Not I.
And,
not I.
Not I. And it was so last year, actually, yeah, I don't know if anybody is keeping track, but we recorded the episode, I think it was April 6th, and the thing was to hold on to it until Eden was born and then use it. But that ended up actually being the last episodes that we
that
recorded
nice.
Before Eden was born. So it all kind of worked out really well.
It all worked out really well. My water broke like 4 days later.
Wow.
I'm surprised our recording isn't what like sent you into labor.
Maybe it was. How do you know?
It might have been what started it.
All the laughs.
Exactly.
So yeah, here we are, full circle. And you know what? 4 years from now, if we're still doing the podcast and the crossovers, we're going to be like, and then Eden was born, and now she's four. The end.
Okay. We're still doing this podcast in 4 years. We will be in our 40s.
Yes.
Stop. You bite
the three of you, maybe. Will.
I think Martha's still going to be in her 20s and 40s.
Martha's
still going to be in her 20s and 4 years, yeah.
You bite your tongue.
Just to be clear, for the record.
Oh, Martha. Mm. Yes, it was creepy the way that I befriended Alice, but even creepier with Martha.
It was not creepy. It was charming.
Charming, yes. When the 26-year-old becomes... When the 26-year-old becomes friends with the 14-year-old, it's usually a good thing.
Very normal.
Nothing totally ever goes wrong with that.
I mean, not in this case, anyway.
Yeah, no, that's true. Worked out here.
The 17-year-old and the 29-year-old had an unbreakable alliance on Survivor.
Sure so. Did. Yeah. God, you weren't even an adult, a legal adult, when we played Survivor together.
That's and yet you are still older than I am now.
Oh no. Oh my god. All right, that's it. I'm gonna go upstairs and cry.
I know. I feel like we need to end this episode early. I mean,
yeah, we're done
already. My brain is like melted over.
All the roasts for today. I'm done.
And yet, Martha's the one who's staying up later than she ever stays up.
That's true.
Way past her old lady bedtime. Mm-hmm.
That's very true.
To be on the show with you, so you should feel young, but. When you compare your lifestyle.
I'm definitely old at heart.
Oh, I'm right there with you, Martha. When we finish, like, we have a 3-hour time difference. And when we finish recording, like, we all go to bed.
Well.
3 hours apart.
Well, no, some of us stay up for another, like, 2 hours. Because they. Yeah.
I don't think I'm meant to live in Eastern time. That's a big lesson of the last few years. Yeah. Of, like, Alice being in Mountain time 2 years ahead of, or 2 hours ahead of me, or behind me.
That, yeah, it's like I'm sitting down for dinner and Martha's like, good night.
And then she, yeah, like if we were going to record a podcast on a weeknight, like it has to be me staying up late. She's the one who'd rather stay up late.
Yeah, so. It would work better if we were in the reverse.
But it's all worth it, especially to be recording with the broadcast.
Oh, well, thank you.
Not being extra nice because of how mean I was a minute ago or anything.
Wait, Martha, so how old are you? Because and the reason I'm asking is because I was going to make a comment about 27.
I'm 25.
Okay. Okay, so my comment stands. When you reach the age of 27, then just think about playing Pulse Survivor with, like, 16-year-olds.
Okay. So I'll get back to you in 2 years.
That's also a thing I did.
Hey, speaking of Survivor, real quick. Is anybody watching Australian Survivor? Because I really want to.
No, I want to too. I just haven't been able to access it yet.
Same. Okay. Because I really want to see Sandra. And I saw that all the...
Wait,
all
what?
Sandra and her daughter are playing. And
they're playing in a Blood versus Water on Survivor Australia.
And everybody I know on Twitter is tweeting about how the queen stays queen and how it's fucking amazing. And all I want to do is watch it now. I don't have time to watch it. I have no job, but I still somehow don't have time to watch Survivor, Australian Survivor. But I'll have you know, the next time we record, I will be gainfully employed. But anyway, sorry.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All the old seasons of Australian Survivor, old meaning like in the last 4 years, are on Paramount Plus, but the season that's currently airing is not.
Right. And that's the one I want to see.
Right.
Well, and there's like links out there or whatever, but that's just such a pain.
Who knows? Who knows what viruses you're going to download?
Yeah, and it's also like I'd rather just access it on my TV. I don't want to watch it on my laptop.
Totally. Exactly.
That's true.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the other Australian Survivor seasons, but now that they're on Paramount Plus, I do want to watch them because I've heard really good things. I've heard that they're kind of better than more recent U.S. Survivor seasons.
Yeah, I have heard that.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
Paul's watched a few of them and he likes them a lot, but they're kind of a big time commitment. I think there's more episodes per season.
Yes, I think because it's a longer set of time, right?
I think so. I think it's like 40 something days, and then they have more episodes per week or something, kind of like a Big Brother schedule.
Yeah, but, it's more like Big Brother, I think.
It's not gonna happen.
Yeah. But yeah, great conversation about something none of us have seen.
Well, I didn't know that Sandra was playing it.
Yeah.
That in and of it, that is interesting. Yeah, and her daughter. Wow. That, how old is her Nina. Daughter?
I think like she's like Martha's
early
age.
20s. Yeah.
So young.
Well, I'm mid 20s. I think she's early 20s.
Here, come 20s. Show them. Hold on, Jay is in here in his makeup.
Oh, wow. My. Oh, that's a lot of look.
Even how better than you described.
How do you get it off?
Yeah, how do you take this stuff off?
Okay, so
cold cream.
Go upstairs and get the Vaseline, and you can do that as a base to try to
you
rub it off.
Vaseline? Okay.
Yeah, I always do that first. It works.
Okay.
And then you can. There's a lot of different face washes in there that you can use.
I'm scared.
Use the one that's by my toothbrush.
I'm so scared. Okay.
It's a blue one in a cylinder bottle.
Hi, everybody.
Kind of hurting my eyes to think about the Vaseline.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, I've always used Vaseline since forever.
Oh, my God. I'm how sure does that you can, not hurt your eyes?
I wear contacts. Nothing hurts my eyes. Truly.
I was just laughing. I was just laughing, Colleen, at how like you were kind of looking up at him and the distance between his eyes. And I felt like you were like a little intimidated by the energy he was exuding, which I can't blame you.
Anyway, yeah, so that was what I was talking about before. Interesting. So wait, what do you guys use to remove makeup then?
Cool cream. I mostly just don't.
Eye makeup remover.
Oh, like the blue, the little like white thingies.
It's like clear water, or it's not water, but it's like a clear liquid.
I've used that before too. Oh, that actually no. I've used
it's
that.
It's hurting my eyes to think about it for some reason.
I've used that before, and so my mom gave me that as a Christmas present one year, and TSA confiscated it because they considered it a liquid.
I just like Shandy's answer. I don't mostly. that's kind of my, and I know I'm not supposed to say that. But
is it pink?
I'll like use like a cotton like circle, but I won't put anything on it usually.
I don't even do that. I just go to bed.
Yeah.
Oh, some days I just go to bed.
Yelling at us in the comments about that.
I mean, but like, why?
Yeah.
Because all that makeup then gets in your eyes and you could like scratch your corneas or like get all sorts of infections and unhappiness.
Really?
I some days I forget to take it off too, but that's generally when I haven't reapplied it since the morning and I'm like, meh.
Maybe I'm just too violent a sleeper because I feel like
I used to never take it off before bed. Like in college, I would always sleep with makeup on and stuff, but now I always take it off.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. I've always used Vaseline for forever, and it really gets it all off.
I bet.
I have used that clear stuff too. It's like in like a pink top. Yeah.
One of the brands, isn't it? Okay. I get the Target brand.
So. Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Maybe I'll get some for the next time Jay has to put.
Well, really, if your method works, then stick.
Really,
with
just
it.
Any lotion, like just like a normal lotion works as well.
But see, lotion, I feel like would hurt my eyes. I don't know. I've never.
Well, you put it on like a tissue and then.
Yeah, that's what I do with the Vaseline too.
Oh, okay.
I don't go face first in the Vaseline like. Oh my
Good
god.
Good tips.
Anyway. All right, so nobody has seen Australian Survivor. Has anybody listened to the Trojan Horse Affair, which is the new podcast from Serial Productions?
I'm halfway through the first episode because they were very smart and put it, had This American Life release the first episode on their feed. So.
Oh, nice.
That's how I got hooked on Serial.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Cross-promotion, man. So smart.
Yeah, I kind of really want to listen to Serial to see if, 7 years later me would have a different take on it.
Yeah, I now that I live in Baltimore, I kind of want to watch it or re-listen to it because there's like a bunch of locations that are referenced that I know are like stuff that I drive by now.
Yeah.
Like when Alice visited me last summer, she was like, can we go to that park? And I was like, which park? I was like, let's
yeah, like
not.
I brought it up and Martha's like, I don't remember it being in, like Martha had forgotten it was in
I thought
Baltimore.
It was in DC. Well, I think there is parts that are in DC.
Yeah.
But I definitely did not That's not why I moved to Baltimore.
Are you going to try to do the thing to see if you can get from the school to the park to the blah, blah, blah in 21 minutes?
Alice was kind of suggesting that. And I was like, no, I think we're good. A lot of other stuff we can do while you're here.
Well, that should theoretically only take 21 minutes of your time. That's not a long
time. Right, and then I remember that was a big thing on there. Like, yeah. Is that really something you can do in 21 minutes or whatever? But
we could have investigated for ourselves, but
we could have.
Alas.
Next time.
You should have done it during the pandemic when nobody was driving. You should have been like, yeah, man, I got there in like 10 minutes. This is totally doable. But no, so the Trojan Horse Affair, it is Brian, what's-his-face, from S-Town. And another...
Brian Reed.
Brian Reed, thank you. And Hazim... I can't remember his last name. I'm in the middle of the last episode, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I listened...
You really binged it, huh?
I listened to it, like, nonstop today. I also listened while I was, like, doing other things, so I might need to go back. Because there were sometimes... where they would interview people and he'd be like, wait, who is this person? Like, and I'd have to go back like, you know, 5 minutes to get the introduction. But so it tells a story of a letter that was written in 2013 in the United Kingdom, a school district, Birmingham, was 97% non-white Muslim students. And it was had a 4% passing, like graduation rate. And this... you know, man went in there as their, like, I don't know if he was like the headmaster or the superintendent of the school district or whatever, but he went in there to try to like reshape the school. And he ended up turning it around, you know, within a few years where it went from 4% graduation rate to like 71% graduation rate. So like really helped the students thrive. And then in 2013, and that was in the 97 or 98 that he took over. So by 2013, he had been asked to help with other schools in the Birmingham district and to try to like turn them around too and like work his magic. And then in 2013, a letter started going like viral, like in the press and whatnot, that was outlining this 5-step Muslim plan for like a radical Islamic takeover of the school system. And it was determined that the letter was a hoax, and they tell you that right away. All the authorities will tell you that it was a hoax right away, but still, that letter managed to ruin, like, the lives of everybody that worked at the schools, and, like, a lot of them aren't allowed to teach anymore, and, like, it's all explained to you, like, in the very beginning of the episode, of the season, and it's just the two reporters' story, like, trying to get to the bottom of who wrote the letter so then they can figure out why. And it goes through twists and turns and like small town and big government politics and, you know, the lies and just all the like different crazy things that they encounter that are just, you know, really just make this story so nuts in general. And I don't know how it ends yet because I've got about, I don't know, 20 minutes left, but I'll let you know.
It's very interesting.
The other journalist's name is Hamza Syed.
Okay, I should remember. Like, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I'm into. I like it. I'm 20 minutes in. So
nice. The symmetry. I have 20 minutes left. You're 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
But you can listen to, I believe the total runtime for the entire series is like under 8 hours. So it's definitely, you know, an easy listen. I recommend checking it out. Like, you do have to pay a little bit of attention the same way you had to do with like Serial, just because there's so many like intricate moving parts and clues that, you know, they skip around in the timeline in order to tell their story a little bit. But I really liked it, obviously, because I started it yesterday afternoon and I'm almost done with it.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that is fair, though. I feel like I do need, because I wasn't really paying attention when I was listening, I do feel like I need to go back, because when you're like, oh, it's a hoax, they say it at the beginning. I'm like, did they say it at the beginning?
Yeah, they do.
Maybe I'm not as far in as I thought it was.
It's like part of the introduction.
Yep.
That was the part that you missed. Like, you just happened to tune out for 2 seconds, and that was the part where they said that.
My mind plus, wanders. You know,
everybody has a British accent, and you know how all British people sound the same, so it's kind of tough to keep it.
Yeah. I think my biggest takeaway was the fact that Hamza Syed was originally a doctor.
Yes.
And then this story so captured his imagination that he quit his job as a doctor to go to journalism school so that he could become a journalist and report on this story. Like, that was the biggest takeaway I took, and my brain just went like,
yeah.
Oh, people that can do multiple things with their life. If only I'm thinking about quitting my job to become a doctor. I'm definitely skilled enough for that.
I'm skilled to do nothing.
Right. Because you saw this person be a doctor on TV, so you were like, you know what, I'm just going to go do that while I'm doing my other job.
I was watching Grey's Anatomy, and I thought, looks fun.
And you can fall in love, too. Great. Find me.
Exactly.
Find me love.
Only one of my friends will die per year.
Right. So. You know not to cut the LSAT wire, LVAT wire, whatever it was.
If I get my own McDreamy, it'll be worth it.
Oh, my God. Speaking of McSteamy, actually, do you guys watch Euphoria?
No, but I hear great things.
I guess I need to.
Damn. I haven't taken the plunge yet. Many people are talking. I feel like I know every character's name, and I feel like I know, like, so many parts of the plot just from being on Twitter.
What I don't understand is why it's, like, suddenly taken off, because isn't it?
Well, season two just came out.
Yeah, season two just came out, but I remember watching, like, season one was really good. I don't know if it was, like, popular, but I remember watching as it came out. It was really good. And then they dropped these really awesome, like, intermediate episodes between the seasons, because they had to like take a break for the pandemic and stuff, but they shot two really, really cool episodes, and now season two is coming out. And I just was thinking about that because the guy who plays McSteamy is a character in Euphoria, and it's kind of wild to like be like, you're that person and that person.
Well, speaking of Grey's Anatomy, Addison, anybody watch Emily in Paris?
No,
that's also on my list.
But I used to watch Addison's spinoff.
Yeah, Emily in Paris is terrible. Emily in Paris is just a terrible show, but it's very entertaining. It's one of like the worst written shows I've ever watched. But
not according to the Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
Yeah, it's very, very bad. And Lily Collins is just terrible. But Addison's in it, Kate Walsh, and she plays probably one of the like most terrible people ever.
Oh no.
But it's entertaining. It's two seasons, 10 episodes each, and it's pretty fast binge. But another one of those like, oh, I know you from this, and I'm watching you in this.
She is just like a strikingly beautiful woman.
Oh my God.
So beautiful.
You're talking about Martha's like number one girl crush.
I love Addison. Whenever Addison's on my screen,
Martha's like dazed by her.
I haven't even watched that much Grey's Anatomy, but when I was watching it, every time I'd see it, I'd be like, text Alice, like, oh my God, Addison. Addison is so hot.
You have to watch Private Practice.
I know, I really should. Dude, she's not
more chances to watch Addison.
Yeah, I wouldn't say she was a baddie in Emily in Paris. She's just evil in Emily in Paris. Very unlikable.
She's in a lot of different... Hot.
Well, not even. Her personality is so bad. It's like unrealistic. Like, characters in Emily in Paris, like everything they do, it's like nobody would do that. Everything you're just watching, and it's like, who? Like, yeah. Anyway, nobody does it, so we don't have to talk about it anymore.
My question, because I mean, I've heard that it's terrible. I did wonder, like, do you see a lot of Paris? I would almost watch it just for that.
The premise is that she's this girl from Chicago who's working in Paris, and when she goes to Paris, she wants to start this like Instagram account that's like Emily in Paris is her handle on Instagram, and she's just like taking photos of Paris like from a Chicagoan's perspective. So you do see a lot of shots of Paris. I don't know how realistic they are, or if it's just like all touristy stuff. People like kind of make fun of like the actual like Parisians make fun of her for being like so starstruck by everything, and like they're like, oh, you want to go to this? Like, that's not what real French people would do, like that kind of thing. So it would be interesting to hear your take on it, Shandy. Yeah.
I would say, just as Addison is the person who plays Addison is a strikingly beautiful woman, Paris is a strikingly beautiful city.
Well, that the shots,
even
of
the
Paris,
tourist maps.
Yeah, the shots of Paris are very, very beautiful. They also go to Saint-Tropez, Is that in Paris? No, that's outside of Paris, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like she
does a couple. Yeah. She does a couple little trips around the country. She's trying to get the full French experience.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of like,
It's definitely
Central.
But like, everything,
she would go to Saint-Tropez. My question is, when she moves to Paris, like, what's her work visa situation like?
Well,
I don't think this show is that deep.
No. But that's the stuff that, like, I'm always like, you can't just go work in whatever country you want to. Like, that's not how it works.
She's working for an American company in Paris. Does that help?
Okay, maybe.
But it's also an American, it's like a French subsidiary of the American advertising company.
Yeah.
But Kate Walsh.
Maybe they sponsored her. Okay.
Kate Walsh was originally going to go, but she's the character is pregnant, so she doesn't end up going. So that's why Emily goes. But the last thing I'll say about Emily in Paris, you've probably heard this already, is that, it's Emily in Paris. Everybody says Emily in Paris, but originally it was supposed to be Emily in Paris because that was supposed to, like, rhyme.
Oh,
but
my God.
Says that.
Emily in Paris.
Yeah.
But then it would have to be Emily in Paris. Which
right.
Which just doesn't.
Doesn't really rhyme either way.
Anyway, that's a rhyme just because they both end in E.
Maybe we should talk about something we've all seen.
Yeah, this is not making me want to watch this show.
No, you shouldn't watch. I mean, you should if you want something terrible to watch. But
I will say, when I was in France over Christmas, I saw that some French people were watching Emily in Paris. Like, it is in France on, like, French Netflix, and I was like,
okay,
are you sure? Okay.
They do. Some characters speak French. Like, there are French characters in it.
But are they French? That's always the question, too.
I think they are.
Like, the guy who speaks French in the plane in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, he's not French.
Yeah, like, sometimes when they have German in movies, it's like they're speaking German. And then, like, you can kind of pick up on one of every five words because they can't even pronounce things, like, even close to right.
You're like, was it really, like, that expensive to get
In Orange is the New Black, there's this scene where Poussey is speaking in German, and it's, like, the worst thing I've ever heard. It's not at all. No. Whoever coached her did a very bad job.
Oh, no. R.I.P.
Yeah. Big R.I.P. Yeah, it looks like the main French actors are French.
Okay. Well, at least they got that right.
Yeah. But I digress.
It's like, Hollywood has a problem finding appropriate actors to fill roles? Really? Tell me more about that. Maybe we should ask a disabled actor or a transgendered actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, did anybody have anything, interesting or fun happen this past weekend, lately, life? Anybody do their taxes yet? Just kidding.
No, I usually put that off until about April 14th.
Alice, I'm surprised.
I am too, actually.
I'm not surprised. I'm a huge procrastinator.
She does a good job. She spends the whole day dedicated to that on April 14th.
No, I don't. Okay, I don't actually do it April 14th, but I do it about April 1st, I would say.
That's not so bad.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, but I don't do it in February.
When I used to get, like, really nice refunds, I would do it, like, February 1st.
I know.
Now,
that's
now,
like,
I kind of put it off.
Yeah.
One of my coworkers always manages to get a refund. She has kids and stuff, and she like, looks forward to doing her taxes, and I'm like, no, I always have to pay in for some reason.
Yeah, we have to for all the podcast money that we
Wow, what's that like?
That was a humble brag.
I
heard one.
I meant to say that.
Go on.
It's definitely not what I meant to say. But we do end up having to pay usually because of the self-employed form that we have to do for the podcast.
Gotcha.
Thank you, Ms. Tax Expert Martha.
I just said Alice tells me what to do. I don't know. Alice always makes me pay.
I do. We are very honest when it comes to our reportings.
You should probably one of these years consult with, like, a tax attorney and see what you can write off or something in order to, you know, just zero that out.
Anything like that just stresses me out. I'm like, it's, I can't even. Like,
no,
I
know. It's worth it, though. I feel like all my, it's worth
everybody
it.
I know who does taxes has somebody in their life who knows how to do taxes. And for me, it's Alice and our mom, and they're not real. I mean, they're good at it because they know how to do it or whatever, but they're not financial experts. But I feel like everybody else has, like, oh, my uncle does this, or my dad does this, or my sister does this.
That's like, what I said. Like, I need somebody in the family who's like a CPA.
Yeah, and everybody do in have our a cousin who's a CPA. I think
we do.
Two cousins.
What are you talking about?
They're not CPAs, but they're financial planners.
Oh, they don't know anything about taxes. Are you kidding me? Yeah,
Shandy
no.
Shandy was impressed.
Financial and not, planning.
They don't know anything
about
taxes.
That's like a real level of adulting, like a financial planner.
Like, we need people in our family that have more practical skills that we can take advantage of, because everybody in our family has like some kind of a job, like a teacher. Great. Doesn't do anything for me. I've said this for a long time. Like, I'm so jealous of people who have like a mechanic who works in, who's in their family, or like a CPA or a doctor. Well, I guess we do have a doctor uncle, but he's busy. I can't like go to him.
Yeah, and also our doctor uncle has given me bad advice multiple times. I had a false TB test a couple years ago.
What?
Skin test. Yeah. And it, like, the skin test that you do for a TB, and you're supposed to see whether it reacts. And I have really sensitive skin, so I did have a reaction. And it was like, the doctor was like, what? They're like, okay, we gotta like figure out, like, does she have latent TB? And our uncle was like, there's very little chance that this is a false positive. He's like, there's very, very little chance. He's like, I'm sure you picked it up somewhere. You have latent TB. You clearly have no symptoms. Like, he like walked me through like how I could have gotten it and like what like to do. And like, he was like trying to console me on the phone, like telling me like, there's very little chance. Like, that was a direct quote. There's very little chance that this is a false positive, and it's almost certain that you have latent TB. No, it was just a false positive. And that was proved with a blood test later. I have very sensitive skin.
So random that you're talking about TB, because literally yesterday that topic somehow came up when I was at physical therapy, and she was saying that she used to work in a hospital and she had to do TB tests all the time. And she said TB tests are like notoriously very often false positives.
So our uncle didn't know what he was talking about. There were the weird thing is times where he said stuff like that too.
Yeah, but he is really like good doctor. So that's the weird
He's like
part.
Really hot. He works for Mayo Clinic.
Wow.
But, man, now we're dragging Mayo Clinic on the show.
Yeah, no, we're not. We love our uncle. He's very an expert.
He specialize in tuberculosis.
Right, but he acts like it.
I mean, what modern doctor specializes in tuberculosis?
Right. Well,
oh, they've got the consultation.
He didn't know what bad luck I have with that kind of thing. So
my question to my PT was, is tuberculosis still around? Is that still going on? Okay.
Yeah. Well,
apparently
all the diseases are back. Shandy didn't, you know, on one different timeline, you might have been speaking to somebody with latent TB.
Yeah.
Shit. Thank goodness that's not the timeline we're living in.
Oh, I guess one exciting thing that happened to me lately is I survived COVID.
Oh.
Oh.
But yay! I mean, you survived! Yay!
Paul and I were both taken down by it a couple weeks ago.
Shit!
But yeah, breakthrough cases. Obviously, we're all vaccinated and boosted and everything, but it got us.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, no!
We're fine.
You're in good company. I feel like everybody I know.
I know. And I was just like hoping that we were going to avoid it, but I guess we couldn't. So we're not too sick and we're fine now. So no lingering effects. So that's really lucky.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
So last week, Alex, so 2 weeks ago, Jay and Zachary had COVID and they went back into school. It was like the 27th. Everybody went back to school and we know out of isolation on January 27th. I got a call on January 31st that Alex had been exposed to COVID on that Thursday, so he had to go back into isolation and couldn't come back into school until Monday the 7th, which then meant that because there had been two separate cases of COVID at his school, like in his classroom, that until Friday the 4th, 18 out of the 20 kids were out because they had to, you know, go into isolation because COVID, you know, different kids in the classroom had it. So we went back in, thankfully, but we had Alex's birthday party outside at a playground in the chilly but sunny 42 degree weather on Saturday. And I was so worried that like people were going to cancel because it was so cold and it was a little windy. And everybody still came and they were all like, oh my God, thank you so much. You know, we've been stuck with our kids for so, you know, over the last week, or they haven't seen each other in so long. And it was really nice that, you know, everybody was just really happy and he had a really good birthday party. So
oh, yeah. That's good.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah. I had my family in town for it, and that was about it. So, looking forward to birthday things for him tomorrow. We're going to take him to, because he's a big stuffed animals kid, really loves his lovies. We're going to take him to Build-A-Bear so he can build his own.
Aww. Did you know that Build-A-Bear is launching an After Dark line?
Yes! And I don't know what it's about because I Holly's saw like, it.
That's why we're going. That's the reason we're going to be there.
You actually just reminded me to Google it.
One for all.
So what
so
is...
So like they glow in the dark.
Oh, that's a bummer. That's it?
No, I don't know.
Or they're like sexy teddy bears?
They are. They're sexy teddy bears. Or at least that's what the headlines seem to suggest.
Like
I didn't...
lingerie
yep.
with your teddy bear?
Yeah. A lot of people were tweeting about it, and I didn't really click past what I saw. But
well, it's a good thing we have you reporting on the story then.
Well, Colleen saw it too, and she's on the case.
I saw it because I called Build-A-Bear today to make sure I didn't have to reserve like a time or something. And when I Googled Build-A-Bear After Dark was like the second search hit, and I was like, "What is that?" Okay,
took your kids to that instead, Colleen.
Who said stuffed animals were just for the kids?
Exactly.
The Build-A-Bear website. Why should they get to have all the fun? Welcome to Build-A-Bear After Dark, a new series of teddy bears designed specifically for adults. A concept I'm currently struggling to resolve with my lizard brain. Are these bears supposed to be ... horny?
Oh, no.
Here's an example. I know this won't come across on the podcast, but it's a bunny holding a glass of wine, and the t-shirt says rosé over roses.
It's, well, it's not like sexy.
Well,
it's
that one's like, not. Well, that's
kind of like adult humor, I guess.
Yeah,
there's also I don't find that sexy.
No, as I'm looking too, and there's bears there's and boxers. Oh my God, the Don Juan Build-A-Bear.
What is that? Is there a market for this?
That's a seduction Build-A-Bear.
I mean, Build-A-Bear seems to think so.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, wink, 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 read the post. Our gift shop is full of gifts for adults, too. Shop Build-A-Bear After Dark for unique gift ideas that are sure to get you hugged.
Oh, Shanny, you know it would be hilarious to see a bear smoking a bowl and just, like, wearing, like, a...
Shanny's laughing.
Yeah. Okay, the idea of a...
Socks. And like a tie-dye t-shirt.
Yeah, okay, like a Rastafarian.
I'm here for the hippie bear. But the sexy bears, no.
Well, no, I don't think there were sexy ones. Martha made that up.
No, that one that I just
No.
The guy in a velvet robe, like, come at me.
Hey, but that's more of a humor thing. Like, I don't think anybody, like, finds that sexy.
Well, speak for yourself, sister.
Don't forget, yeah. Build-A-Bear has been around for a while at this point. The kids that were building bears... when they first started are grown-ups now, and they might be into, you know.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is, like, millennials are, like, the target audience for everything. So they're like, we got to find a way to draw out, like, the perpetual childhood for the millennials.
Yeah, Disney adults.
Yeah.
You know, millennials, though, we're not really, because we still get shit on. Really, everybody wants Gen Z nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think that the Build-A-Bear, I don't think that that's appealing to Gen Z at all.
No, right. Because there's intended to appeal to those millennials.
As a millennial, I would say it's not appealing to me. But also, no,
it doesn't appeal to me either. But I will say, like, I really always wanted to do Build-A-Bear.
Alice was obsessed with wanting to go to Build-A-Bear because we never got to go.
Cute. Oh, honey, I'll take you tomorrow too.
Aww. They were very cute. Aww. And very expensive. Yeah. And we didn't also have one in Bozeman where I grew up. There was no Build-A-Bear there.
I'm gonna say, I'm hearing about Build-A-Bear for the first time right now.
So. Really?
Really?
Oh. There was one in Missoula, like, by the time I was in college.
And there was one in Billings as well, in the mall.
I
was gonna say, usually they're in the mall.
Yeah, but anyways, I always wanted to go, but then I could never justify spending like $40 on a teddy bear.
Really cool though, like just to have it is expensive.
I was just also notoriously very cheap, especially in college, when I first had the opportunity to go to a Build-A-Bear.
I thought you would have done your taxes by now.
We did a Build-A-Bear Jay did it for me for Valentine's Day, I think 2008 maybe, and I did a dog, and I basically made it like my old dog Strider, my childhood dog. And Amanda, you might have seen it. If you didn't see it, then it was 2009, not 2008.
Yeah, I haven't seen I've seen Strider, but I have not seen him in Build-A-Bear form.
So we named it Casey because that was Strider's middle name, and it had a little, iPod that was listening to podcast, and we dressed it up in, like a little tuxedo, and it's really cute. It actually sits on a shelf in Alex's room now. He somehow hasn't noticed it, so.
And you put a heart in them, right,
like a little when
you
make time them? Capsule.
Yeah, you put a heart in it.
Like a beating heart?
Yeah.
Like harvested from a bear.
Stop. I thought it was like a little, like, with a battery or something.
I think you push it and it, like, might... Maybe if the...
Don't ask me. I've never done a Build-A-Bear.
I'll tell you tomorrow. I'll let you know.
I can't wait to find out.
I'm looking forward to it.
When my grandma passed away, my mom took her, like, remaining clothes and made them into, like, little bears, teddy bears for all of the grandkids.
Oh, that's adorable. That's
really sweet.
Really sweet. That's my Build-A-Bear.
I love that.
Your mom sounds just like the craftiest person. You're always and she like made us pot holders and she made us like
again, family members with practical skills. It must be nice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Well, but I didn't get any of those practical skills.
It's not too late. You don't need to yourself have the skills. You just need to be able to take advantage of other people in your family members. Yeah. People in your family's skills.
I see. She's kind of far away though to like patch things up for me now though.
Yeah.
I was hoping today to find the because I had found this like a couple weeks ago, and I've been searching my email while we've been talking. I swear I saved it and emailed it to myself, but I guess not. And it was like, I wanted to do it for whatever we recorded the week of my birthday. And it was like, a millennial based a BuzzFeed thing. And I can't re-find it, which is kind of bumming me out. However, I did find a food quiz, guess your age and zodiac sign based on your fried food preferences. Anybody care to do that?
Always. I'm always up for a BuzzFeed food quiz.
All right, Betty, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. I'll post this in the show notes. I'm not exactly psychic, but I can still guess your age and zodiac sign based on your fried food preferences. Posted 5 hours ago on February 8th. Okay. First things first, pick an appetizer. Toasted ravioli, mozzarella sticks, spring rolls, or fried mac and cheese balls. I think everybody's going to guess what I'm going to pick. Mozzarella sticks.
I think
I was going to say mozzarella sticks for
all the time, every day, every meal.
Yep. I'm with you.
It's a great choice. I would choose all four. I love all four of these things, but I have to choose spring rolls because that's definitely like what I'm going to get the most often.
I had to choose spring rolls because I hate cheese. So
when I saw that question, I was like, Alice's choice is very easy there.
I'm going to go with spring rolls too.
All right.
Oh, fried cheese. Always fried cheese.
Always.
Which
always.
One, though? There's three options for fried cheese.
Mozzarella sticks. Let's keep it classy here.
Yeah.
I don't need additional carb. It gets in the way of the cheese.
Next, pick some fries. Sweet potato fries, curly fries, crinkle fries, or waffle fries. This is hard because I want...
Sweet potato.
That's really hard.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. In this picture...
I pick sweet potato.
The waffle fries look the best to me in this picture. I would normally pick curly fries, but I do not like the picture of these curly fries. But I'm going to pick curly fries because that's usually my go-to. These curly fries don't look very good, but I do really like waffle fries.
You have to go with the picture.
I do? Well, then I have to go back and pick waffle fries.
No, you don't have to go with the picture. Go with your heart. Go with your heart.
Yeah. Go what's in your soul.
Okay.
Anybody else?
I'm just making up rules. You have to go with the picture.
You said that with such confidence.
I'll do waffle fries.
I'll go with curly. I feel bad for the curly fries.
I love curly fries.
I love curly fries too.
Always between curly and a waffle.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, anybody who picks crinkle fries from these four is, off. I'm sorry, no.
Unless it's slathered in cheese.
No,
like, if it's a cheese fry, then you can have the crinkle.
I agree.
I'm sorry, Alice. I'm like, this is like your nightmare.
cheese
on top of cheese on top of fried cheese.
I guess I could eat anything with cheese. No offense, Alice, but crinkle fries are just generally gross. Like, you need, if you have them even with the cheese, you need a fork then, because they just get mushy and
they do.
Yeah,
but you need like that little sort of pretty toothpick fork.
I've never had a crispy crinkle fry. I'm just saying.
No, and they're often like, I guess this is probably like the kind that you get at like somebody else's house or something. But like, they're often not cooked all the way through. Like,
yes,
yeah.
Everybody ready to go to the next one?
Yes.
Pick another potato dish, because why not? Potato chips, tater tots, hash browns, or potato croquettes.
I don't know what the potato croquettes are, but they look good.
They look good.
Well, they look gross in the picture to me, but I will say they I've had them frequently in Germany. And I think they are really good.
They look like they're filled with cheese.
No, they're kind of like I would say they're more like a fried mashed potato. But the mashed
potato. Oh, I did have those in Germany too.
But they're like, but a more solid. It's not, yeah. So it's like a really, really solid French fry, like just a lot of like kind of like a mashed potato kind of a filling, but like not like light and fluffy, more like solid.
They're kind of like a meatball made with potato.
I would not describe it that way.
I'm gonna go tater tots.
I'm going hash browns. I love hash browns.
Tots, always tots.
I'm picking the potato croquettes, having had them myself. But I do say,
this
I don't think
this is making me really hungry, though. Like, I'll take all of it, please.
Well, speaking of that, Martha, last week we did this whole thing about snacks per state. And I literally went out and bought a bag of Ruffles potato chips the next day because I could not stand the fact that I had no snacks in my house. And all I wanted to do was eat chips, because we did this segment and then come back from commercial break and Amanda's got this bag of M&Ms. Sorry. I was like, I want some. So I'm winning with potato chips.
Sounds good.
To be fair, it was a handful of M&Ms. I didn't bring the whole bag.
I'm not a heathen. King size bag.
I've definitely eaten that whole bag already, but you know, whatever. It's been a week.
Yeah. Pick an entree: fried chicken, falafel, fried shrimp, or chimichangas.
All four, please.
I know, right?
I'm picking between the fried shrimp and falafel because I love both.
I'm like, where am I? You know?
I know. And what am I eating with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that particular falafel picture, they look pretty dense. They don't look like delicious falafel.
They do look very, I'm going to pick fried shrimp.
Okay. Me too.
Yeah, me three.
I'm going to go chimichangas.
Me too.
Ooh.
Because I went to a Mexican, I went to a street taco place for my birthday dinner tonight.
Nice.
Pick a side: onion rings, fried pickles, hush puppies, or fried cheese curds.
I'm not certain what hush puppies are.
Oh, hush puppies
are delicious. The bomb.
Yeah. They're like fried like corn balls.
They're big in the
like
South.
Corn baller in Arrested Development. but they're so right? good. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, hush puppies are big down in the South.
I'm picking hush puppies.
I'm going to go with fried pickles on this one.
I love fried pickles. That would be my second choice.
I do as well. I agree. Fried pickles.
Yeah, especially with that big old set of ranch.
We call them pickle chips in our house, and we eat them on the regular. So, yes, I agree. We're all going with fried pickles.
No, I did hush puppies.
Oh, you did hush puppies. Sorry, you did. Sorry. Pick a fried, I think this is the last one. Oh, two more. Pick a fried favorite: corn dog, popcorn chicken, crab cakes, jalapeno poppers, baby. Maybe.
Yeah. I can't do the jalapeno and the poppers.
Mm-mm. I guess I'm going to have to go with popcorn chicken. That's like the only one I like. Mm. Kind of a random one.
I do prefer broiled crab cakes, but I will choose fried crab cakes.
Broiled crab cakes are a solid choice.
I'm gonna
the Maryland person too. Has to go with the crab cakes.
Exactly.
I'm going to go with the crab cakes, even though corn dogs for me went on a similar journey as hot dogs, where loved them, was super grossed out by them, and now I'm kind of like into them again.
I have never had a corn dog before.
Oh, really?
Neither has Alice's and my mom. That's like a joke that my dad always likes to talk about. He's always like, we're on the road trip, and he's like, oh, I bet she'd like to get a corn dog at the gas station. And she's like, I've never had a corn dog.
Yeah. They're all right. Really dumb They're, I'm kind of with you, Shandy. Like, I used to be, I went in a phase where I was very, like, anti any kind of hot dog. And then they're fine. I don't know. Some are better than others, but I wouldn't, like, seek it out.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
I mean, it's the cornbread breading with the hot dog is a surprisingly good combination.
It is. That fried corn dog breading stuff is really good.
Yeah.
You know how I know this? Because Zachary loves corn dogs, but half the time he takes the damn breading off, and then I can't not eat it because it's sitting there.
That's the best part.
I know.
Cornbread.
I'm like, why didn't you just get a hot dog? Love that kid. All right, and then maybe we're all just corn dogs at heart. finally, choose something sweet. Churros, funnel cake, beignets, or fried Oreos. I gotta go with the beignets, personally.
Same.
Yeah,
me too.
No, the fried Oreo.
I've never had a fried Oreo.
Oh, they look so good in this picture.
They're not
as good as they look. They definitely, like, just make you feel sick right away.
Fried Oreos.
Oh, I've never tried one.
I must admit, like, I thought they were just going to be gross off the bat. And, like, the first couple of bites is actually enjoyable. I was surprised. And then you feel awful. And you're like,
As with most fried foods. Like, fried food. Because even funnel cakes. Yeah.
Well, this quiz was completely wrong about
me. Wrong about
me,
too.
This quiz actually was exactly right about me.
No.
Really? It was half right about me.
Okay, wait. Alice, we'll go in alphabetical order. So Alice, Amanda, me, Martha, Shandy.
I got 31 to 44 years old and an earth sign. And I am 31 and I'm a Taurus, which is apparently an earth sign.
Wow.
So this quiz, I nailed this quiz.
4 points for Gryffindor.
Well done.
So apparently everybody who's my age and an earth sign feels the same way about cheese as I do.
Apparently.
Amanda, what'd you get?
I got it super wrong. It said I was between 22 and 30. So young at heart. And a water sign, which I am a water sign. So
Half right. So mine was actually super, super wrong, but super flattering on my 38th birthday, 12 to 21 years old.
What?
And a fire sign.
And what is your sign?
I'm an Aquarius, so I'm a water sign.
Okay. I don't know the signs very well.
That's okay. So yeah, 100% wrong.
Am I next or Shandy?
It's alphabetical.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry. I heard reverse and then I thought it. Okay. So I got the exact same answer as Alice, which we did not give the same answers. So I don't know why. 31 to 44 year old and earth sign. I'm a Gemini, which is an air sign. So incorrect.
I guess they're just picking up on the fact that we're like simpatico.
Yeah. We're super in sync.
Oh my God, your quiz answers are syncing up like your periods. How good.
Oh, so cute.
oh shit, that reminds me. I meant to put on a pair of period underwear. I'll do that during the break.
I'll remind you, don't worry.
My period was like just about to start when I went to
the sound effect for that.
Like, it's not a huge deal, but it will be, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And I meant to do that before we started.
Well, we'll take a break.
Good for you for knowing your body that well.
Not like I saw it.
Oh, okay.
Also, I could feel it.
Just felt it.
Yeah.
I did. My uterus was telling me that that's what it was doing.
Okay, well, as soon as you tell us your sign, we'll take a break.
I got the exact same results as Amanda, which is wrong age, a little too young, 22 to 30 years old, and a water sign, which I am.
So half right.
Wow.
Very interesting.
All right. On that note, everybody, we'll take a quick break. And then when we come back, we will do some feedback.
Sweet.
Great.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, we're back. We're ready to get into feedback. The first bit of feedback comes from John. The only feedback I have is happy birthday. Thank you, John. That's very sweet. The next bit of feedback is from Elena, and she says, have you seen Encanto? And if yes, what did you think? What was your favorite song from the movie? I have a half-baked theory that your favorite song from Encanto says a lot about you as a person. Yes, all the yes, all the yes. We have seen this movie in my house like at least 40 or 50 times.
I was gonna guess you've probably been watching it on repeat. All my friends with kids, like, it's like all the kids want to watch ever.
Yeah, so we saw it in theaters back in early December because we didn't know it was going to be on Disney Plus, and we were obsessed with the songs then. But then once it was on Disney Plus on Christmas, you know, Alex is obsessed with it. Like, he wanted Encanto stuff for his birthday, so my sister got him, like, a coloring book. He loves Luisa, loves Bruno. Bruno's his favorite. I will say I love all the songs. It's hard to pick one. It depends. It truly depends on my mood. When we first came out of the theater, everybody in my car wanted to listen to Surface Pressure, and I was like, no, we gotta do that Don't Talk About Bruno song. That's like a jam. And then, you know, since then, I've really gotten into Waiting on a Miracle. And it's just, I don't know, it's just, it's so, such a wonderful show. And I think you're right, like, your favorite song really does speak about your personality, because every character represents an archetype within a family of a personality that you can relate to. And I really love, you know, I love Mirabelle and what she represents and all the family, and they're all great, and it's just so wonderful. And thank you for asking this question. Is anybody else? Amanda and Shandy, you guys haven't seen Encanto yet, right?
Not yet.
I've seen it. I really enjoyed it. I feel like I would love to watch it, like, with kids. Like, that experience of, like, having kids really, really love it sounds really fun. I just watched it with a couple friends, and the music is awesome. I love the colors in the in the movie too.
Yeah, like, watch, like, Encanto After Dark,
right?
With wine, like, lounging on a bed.
Right. Yeah, no, I thought it was fun. I feel like I thought that the plot, like, was a little bit simpler than I expected it to be. Like, I kind of, it was over quicker than I was expecting it to be, if you know what I mean. But I still really enjoyed it. Surface Pressure is my favorite song. I feel like Elena's going to be like, yeah, that makes sense for you, Martha. if that's her theory here. But all the music's really great. Definitely recommend watching the movie.
I have not watched it yet either, unfortunately. I really want to, but I have it on my list, as usual with most movies and shows and me. It takes me a long time to get to it.
Yeah,
I just need to figure out how to watch it because I don't have Disney Plus. I'm not going to get Disney Plus.
You'll have to, like, borrow somebody's Disney Plus to watch it.
Well, you can watch it in May when you come to my house.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
It'll probably just be on in the background.
Martha.
Last time it was Ted Lasso. This time we can stay up and watch.
Martha, just to respond to what you said about it being so simple, I honestly, a lot of the times, the movies that I enjoy, I leave, and when I think back about them, like as I'm like leaving the theater or finishing watching them, I think that the simplest plots sometimes are just like tell the best stories because they just
and I
often do think about like, wow, that just was simply told and it like got the job done. And I think for a Disney movie, it doesn't need to be like overly complicated. But yeah, I don't know. We just, we're big fans. I relate to that. I mean, I think we talked about it. We saw it, in December before we recorded our live Christmas Zoom with everybody. And Jay, you know, was on the Zoom telling everybody about how I burst into tears crying in the theater. And then I burst into tears crying on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day when we watched it at home at the exact same spot. So, yeah,
I want to see it. It seems like it's really, I mean, I've heard really great stuff about it. So once yeah. I know when my I say, favorite song, when I say, I'll have to tell Elena what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
When I say simple, I don't really even mean it as a critique. I feel like it was more like I wanted it to be longer than it was because I was enjoying it so much. So it was like when it was over, I was like, oh, I wish that there was more that I could be watching because it really was. It's so enjoyable.
I would love to see properly done spin-offs with the other Madrigal family members.
Yeah.
And the cast is so delightful on Twitter. Like, they're so supportive of each other and, you know, constantly, like, congratulating them when their songs, you know, each other's songs go on the Billboard hits and you know, just in general. They had, like, a live tweeting viewing party of the movie a couple of weeks ago. And Lin-Manuel was and the director and other cast members were sharing, like, you know, notes and pictures of things. And, yeah, it was really great. It's a good experience to go along with. So thank you. I love that question. Mandy said Survivor comes back March 9th. Thank you, Mandy. I appreciate the info. That's because last week we were talking about that. So, yay. Thank you. All right. Moving into some emails. The first email is from Maggie.
All right. Maggie has a question for us. Hi, Amanda, Shandy, Colleen, Alice, and Martha. Happy birthday, Colleen.
Thank you.
I have a fun question for you. You are given an unlimited budget and you have 3 months to open a bar anywhere in the world. Where is the bar? What is it called? What is the vibe? What is the signature cocktail and why? Can't wait to hear what you think. Maggie. Bye-bye.
This is a great question.
Well read.
Well, I feel like I would definitely want to do like a cat bar, like where they're, you know, a cat coffee shop, but with cats walking around. Actually, I've been to a bar in Hamburg that like, I can't remember what it was called, but it was something about a cat. And then they had everything had like this black cat on the logo and everything. So that would definitely be my thing.
I went to a bar in Amsterdam that had a couple cats. I think it wasn't like a cat themed bar, but it had a couple cats that lived in the bar and just like went and sat on the patrons' laps. So that was
that's almost very better. Sweet. I love that.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, no, I'm picturing it like one of those coffee shops, but that like that has cats at it. But the only thing you'd have to be careful is that like the drunk people would be nice to the cats,
right? Mm.
That's a good point.
I was really mad at the bar in Amsterdam because the cat sat on my friend's lap instead of mine, and he wasn't even a cat person. So I was like, why? Like, I'm not really mad at him and the cat. I didn't get really mad at the cat, but you know, I was like, come on. Yeah, I like the cat bar idea. Where would you do it in Germany, Alice?
I guess. I don't know. I don't really have a location in mind.
Well, I would serve German beer then.
Could. I don't know. I'm struggling with the rest of the question. Like, I'm not coming up with good answers to anything. I only have the theme worked out so far.
Yeah. What's it called? Catastrophe.
I don't know. Yeah, catastrophe. That's a good one.
Alice's Pussy Bar.
Oh, perfect.
Not that.
Whiskers.
There you go.
It
could be like the cat's meow or something.
I think we're going to go back to catastrophe.
yeah.
It's probably predictable, and I think if people had predicted cats for Alice, they would have predicted this for Alice. Like, I feel like a, like, library or, like, bookstore bar, I feel like that's something that a lot of cities do have, but, like, something mm-hmm. where you can, like, I don't know, like, the decorations are all, like, literary.
That'd be cool.
Like, this is pretty nerdy, but I feel like, yeah, you could have, like, literary-themed cocktails and...
That'd be cool. I like that.
Maybe the name of the bar is the library. I don't know. That would be kind of fun.
I love that.
There used to be a library bar in the East Village in New York, and it was, like, one of my favorite spots.
Oh, nice. So I'm just going to recreate that. So
yeah, it was a cool spot.
I already have one patron.
I'd go, too.
How about you, Shandy? You got any ideas?
Yeah.
Well, I would have to do the running joke with Frank for the past, like, 15 years is that he would open the February Squirrel Brewery, because those three words are all very hard.
That's right.
If you're a non-native English speaker. So it would be a brewery. It would probably be in Missoula. Specialty cocktails would be beer.
That sounds good.
Of the local variety.
You guys, like, I feel like that's something that I could actually see you guys doing.
Yeah. That would be a cool adventure for you guys to do.
And it's a name that really sticks with you. February Squirrel. I really like it.
Brewery. You have to
brewery.
Say
February Squirrel Brewery. I like it.
Yeah,
that's good.
All right.
All right. So I think I would probably do, like, a family name. So I'd probably call it, like, Ferraris or whatever, after my mom's maiden name, or my mom's side of the family. And I would try to make it more of a, like, family kind of place, like a one of those breweries. But I would want, like, you can get a glass of wine, you can get a beer, you can get a cocktail. Like, I don't want to, like, you know, I want its vibe to be overall, like, good drinks and, like, you know, family games or you know, one of those bars where they have, like, you know, darts, not darts in the corner, but, like, things that, like, kids could do and, you know, grown-ups can sit around and talk, and, like, that would totally be mine. And I don't know what the signature cocktail would be. It would probably have to be something very loud in Italian.
A tall pour of Chianti.
Yeah, right. There you go. Right. The screaming Chianti, that would be the the forget about it.
I definitely like the idea of having games and stuff. That would definitely be included in mine as well, because I don't like just sitting around and drinking. It has to be an activity.
See, I don't mind sitting around and drinking, but if you're going to bring, like, kids and a group of people into it, then you definitely need to have games and whatnot.
Yes.
Why don't you just pop, like, an iPad at every table?
There you go.
a Ziosk, Alice?
A Ziosk, yeah.
One iPad? It would have to be one.
Anybody here familiar with Ziosks?
I believe I've heard you talk about them.
Did we not
really
talk
like
about this in the last crossover?
Yeah, if you know, you know.
I think it was on one of your patron casts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember, but Ziosks are basically, like, this little iPad thing, but, like, way cheaper and way, like, not as good. That they have at, like, Olive Garden and Red Lobster and stuff. And you can pay on the Ziosk, but you can also play games while you wait for your food.
You have to pay for the games, though.
You pay, like, $1 and you can play, like, a game of
one trivia game,
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about.
And then the waitress is always like, and you could pay on this Ziosk right here. It's like out of paper, or like it always has some kind. The Ziosk always has some kind of issue, and it starts flashing red. Yeah. This Alice is life in Ziosk. Middle America. I have to report to the rest of you who live in, like, cities and the coast.
Alrighty.
Amanda, we didn't hear your bar.
Oh, yeah, Amanda.
Oh, I don't know if mine's... So I've always had this, like, pipe dream of a bar that I would open. And, you know, again, preface, I live in New York City. But I always had this idea to open a bar that was also, like, a community space for artists to workshop. Mm. So, like, back back when I was an ambitious young person and like trying to make like independent films and like singing in a cappella groups and whatever, it was always really hard to find rehearsal space or like space to do like table readings of things because like rehearsal studios are expensive. So I was like, well, what if you had a bar that would like host these things for very little money, so long as you were, you know, bringing people in and like buying drinks?
Yeah.
And this was always like this idea that I had that it would be, you know, just a bar during the day, but it would like host, you know, people could come and do their workshops for their various projects they were working on, or they could like sell, you know, starving artists paintings or photography or craft work or whatever. I don't know what you would call it.
That sounds cool.
I love that.
Really cool.
Yeah. So maybe someday.
It's a little more inspirational than my cat bar.
Yeah. But maybe there would also be cats too. Maybe there'd be like, you know,
a crossover.
An ASBA component to it. Maybe they'd do like adopt events there as well.
Oh, perfect.
Like you'd need a really big space. But yeah, I think in terms of like signature drink, I feel like I would love to say it's a wine bar, but I feel like I super don't know enough about wine to like really do that properly. It would probably be like what I was drinking tonight, which is just like some whiskey and some Grand Marnier like swirled together in a cocktail. I think that would be it.
And you don't need more than that.
Yeah, nope. It's pretty damn good.
Awesome. I first of all, for the record, I would go to all your bars and drink there, obviously.
Same.
And I would tip well. All right. We're gonna
same.
Yay, we're all good people and friends. We're gonna finish this up with this is our Valentine's Day episode. I totally forgot. Originally I was gonna try to find a Reddit thread that had like really bad date stories, and I completely forgot to do that. Oops. So anyway, to make up for that, here's a This Valentine's Day in Annie's Virginity.
All right. Andy writes in, This Valentine's Day in Annie's Virginity. Hey, broads. While the podcast won't be out for at least a few days, I wanted to wish Colleen a happy birthday.
Thank you.
I know this was a tough year for you, but hopefully this coming year, through the universe or just chance, it will be a lot better. Also, since I'm not sure if you're recording next week and you're on vacation the week after, happy birthday, Shandy, as well. Thank you. Wish I could provide something good for Valentine's Day, but as we all know, romance and my life haven't exactly gelled together. I don't have a big love story in my life so much as I have that cliched wastebasket filled with crumpled up paper. However, I'm genuinely okay with where I'm at. On top of the whole pandemic thing, which has limited my options, I have other kinds of love in my life. While I still wish I had someone to stay warm with on these freezing winter nights, the fact that I'm waiting isn't getting me too down. Who knows where the next year will take me, and who knows who I'll meet along the way. Hashtag Valentine's with hers, Andy.
Andy, that's so sweet.
That's nice. It sounds like Andy's at a good place in his life, so that's always good to hear.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Andy. We appreciate that.
And happy V-Day to you.
And happy V-Day to you.
Valentine's Day is like a super overrated holiday in my opinion. I'm sorry.
Yes,
sorry for anybody who enjoys Valentine's Day, but I'm always kind of like, oh yeah, Valentine's Day. Great.
I know. I sometimes forget that people like actually buy presents for each other on Valentine's Day. Like that's a thing that's done. Which is no offense to people who do it. But again.
Right. Again, like if you enjoy it, good for you. Yeah. I always kind of forget about it.
It sneaks up on me every year.
Yeah.
I always get Birthentine's Day.
Birthentine's Day.
It's probably a more practical thing to gift, to give a gift for anyway.
Yeah. I get the combination, and it usually falls in between the two holidays. This year we're doing something on Friday night, the 11th, which actually happens to be the day after Matt, as in Matt's what she says, his birthday. So happy birthday, Matt.
So many February birthdays.
So many February birthdays.
Yeah,
and Amanda's brother is the 10th, right? You're all, as well?
Yes. Yes.
I like how Colleen seems to know this more than you, Amanda.
Because, okay. So between you and my brother and Colleen and I are – roommate Annie from college.
She's the 12th.
You all have birthdays. She's the 13th.
13th. Okay.
So between the three of you, it was very hard to keep them separate. It was like the 8th, the 10th, the 13th. And it was always like, who it goes with which date? Like, I know the dates, and it was always like, who's
on first,
attached to which date?
Right.
I'm still not always certain.
Colleen seemed pretty confident.
Well, yeah, to be fair, Colleen knows that she's on the 8th.
Right.
Yeah,
so she only has two to connect.
Did you know if you're in a group of 25 people, you have a one and two
chance?
This like blew my mind, and I don't understand it still. If you're in a group of 25 people, you have a one in two chance that two people there have the same birthday.
Oh, I love this.
And if you Google it, you'll see an explanation. I can't recreate it for you because I don't have a math mind. But
well, Alice, on this call, there are two people. I mean, not exactly on the call, but like if you count everyone in the households on this call, there are two people with the same birthday.
Who?
Looking at you, Amanda.
And two of them are in a relationship with each other. Yep. A baby daddy and I have the same birthday.
Okay, thank you for explaining.
She's going to be so confused.
They're probably gonna
which is also the same birthday as Daniel's brother.
Right, which I find that way weirder that Daniel and his brother have the same birthday.
They're not twins.
Apart, 5 years than, apart.
Then Daniel and I have the same birthday.
That's funny.
Our dad and our uncle, who is married to our – so it's our mom and her sister, both of their husbands, have the exact same birthday.
Like, oh, cool.
Same year.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, isn't that weird? And they're, yeah.
We're talking like, about well, that specific uncle a lot on this podcast.
Yeah, the doctor. He's exactly the same age as our dad.
Yep. Wow. Full circle.
And, you know, 25 our, people in that room.
Both our mom and our aunt are older than both of them.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Yeah. But I didn't respond to Andy's email, but that does seem like he's in a good place in his life. And I'm glad to hear him saying all of that about finding other forms of love, because that's
yes.
I feel like every time we've had an update from Andy, like that's the stuff that we say, so I'm glad to hear him saying that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, way to go, Andy. Good job.
Ooh. And way to go, us. We made it through part one. So real quick, if you have any feedback, it won't be for next week, but it'll be for the future. Broadcasters3@gmail.com, 331-276-2373, or therealweirdsisters@gmail.com. Right? No, it's Real Weird Sisters at G. Right?
Yeah,
no the. Okay. I knew that. I learned that after the first year. RealWeirdSisters@gmail.com. Thank you to everybody that gave us some feedback. As tradition with these, the second show is generally just very feedback heavy. So if you sent us some feedback that you didn't hear read tonight, it will be almost the entire show for next week. So stay tuned for that. Also, on March 1st, broadcast listeners, and if you're here for the tribe, from the tribe,
you're here for our sisters.
Throwback. I mean, hey, if you're here for the tribe.
I mean, that too. If you're here, though, you're not usually here, and you want to join us, on March 1st, we're going to record a special episode talking about some 80s movies that we've that most of us haven't seen / have seen. I think every at least one broad has seen each movie where the others haven't. And the movies that we are going to be watching are
Never Ending Story. Sorry, I just have to sing it every time.
I know.
I haven't seen that one either.
I haven't either. Never Ending Story, Labyrinth, Working Girl, Goonies, and there was another one that I never went back to listen to figure it out. I actually asked Matt. I was like, do you remember? And he didn't remember either.
Four
so.
Is good.
Four
yeah,
is
that's
good.
That's a lot of movies.
Yeah, it's a lot of movies. So we've got those, though. Those are the four. Give us your feedback. If you have any others that you want to leave us feedback about, go for it. We'll talk about it. Whatever. I'm sure maybe if we haven't seen it, maybe Jay or Frank or Daniel have seen it. We'll just, you know, phone a friend. Yeah. Talk about it. So yeah, stay tuned for that though. If you can get that in by your feedback by the 28th of February or even the morning of the 1st, that would be great. Anyway, on that note, we'll see you next week. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
I'm Shandy.
I'm Alice.
And I'm Martha.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.